There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We will get on to our 6 o'clock kickoffs in just a few moments' time. In the meantime, though, we've got to bring you up to date with what has been a fascinating early kickoff in the Premier League this afternoon. Robbie Greenfield, tell us the story.
Signs that Manchester City are not, perhaps, as infallible as we first thought. Wolves have done very well here. It is 1-1 at the Molyneux. They've been aided by a couple of lucky breaks. There was a handball in the opening goal by Willy Boly. Manchester City equalised, but not before a very obvious, in my opinion, push on the back of David Silva by Ruben Neves was waved away. If VAR had been in use, Manchester City would be leading this game, but they did equalise through Laporte, and they're now pushing Manchester City for a late winner. 81 minutes on the clock, Tom. It is Manchester City 1, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1.
Building up now to our 6 o'clock kickoffs here in Dubai and across the whole of the UAE. Southampton taking on Leicester. Huddersfield are at home to Cardiff. Bournemouth are at home to Everton. And our feature game from 6 o'clock, you can hear it live here on Dubai Eye Sport, courtesy of all the team at TalkSport, is Arsenal against West Ham. It is a London derby, and as a long-suffering West Ham fan, I'm going to bury my head in between two pillows and put a large duvet over the top of them, because in the last 2 weeks of this season so far, I think we've seen more players and more formations for West Ham than we have in the last two seasons. Robbie?
There's still, you get the feeling there's still very much in the experimental phase, West Ham. They made so many acquisitions over the course of the summer. Manuel Pellegrini has come in, a new manager, totally different philosophy to that under the previous incumbent of the West Ham job, David Moyes. And Arsenal as well, under Unai Emery, again, a work in progress, a team that is trying to fit in, to make use of various new signings and trying to play a totally different style of football, which has been criticised by a lot of people in the media. But I think that the Arsenal fans are, even though they've made a poor start in those first two games against Manchester City and against Chelsea, neither team has got on the board thus far in this season, and both teams need a win. And we can get team news now. We can cross live to the Emirates Stadium for this one, and we can talk, I believe, to Talk Sports commentator Tim Long. Tim, a very good afternoon to you.
A very good afternoon, guys. Indeed, I've got the teams. Just the one change for Arsenal. Ramsey it is who comes in for Mesut Ozil, who's ill today. So aside from that, it's the same team that lost 3-2 at Chelsea last week. As for West Ham, there is four changes, including a debut for Issa Diop, the £22 million signing at centre-back in the summer. Fredericks comes in at right-back. Sanchez comes into the midfield. Noble's not available today. And Antonio also comes in, with Javier Hernandez dropping out. So they do pack the midfield a little bit more today, West Ham, as you might expect. It's going to be a fascinating game, of course, between two sides who need to find a first win, and two sides who've consistently struggled to defend as well, not just this season, but stretching back into last season too. You have to imagine West Ham will try and keep it tight, play on the counter-attack. Arsenal have the players, as we know, to prod, probe and penetrate. And despite the bad start, I think they've also added some much-needed steel this season, the likes of Sokratis, Guendouzi and Torreira. Anything can happen in this league, as we know, but I'm predicting a first Arsenal win for Unai Emery today.
Who needs the win more, Tim, in your opinion? Both teams without a point so far in the opening two games. We know that it would simply be unthinkable for Arsenal to lose their opening three games of the season. That's never happened under a permanent Arsenal manager. But that, then again, West Ham as well will not want to go their first three games without a single point on the board either.
Indeed, if it did happen to Arsenal, it would be the first time they'd lost their first three games in the league since 1954. You have to imagine that Unai Emery will get plenty of time. I don't think there's too many people expecting them to finish in the top four this season. I think he will have time to transition this Arsenal team from, of course, 22 years under Arsene Wenger. As for West Ham, well, perhaps there might not be as much time. A huge outlay, almost £100 million in the summer. A Premier League winning manager, of course, in Manuel Pellegrini. And this is the start of a really rough run for them. They've obviously got Arsenal today. Then it's Wolves, who've performed brilliantly so far this afternoon against Manchester City. Then they go to Everton, then Chelsea, Manchester United, Brighton away, and of course we saw what they did to United last weekend, and then Tottenham. So a really tough run for West Ham. And I think looking at those runs, perhaps I'd go as far as saying it's West Ham that could do with the points more.
We're looking at Arsenal just briefly, Tim, and the way they played against Chelsea, unlucky, I think, ultimately to lose that game, having come back from 2-0 to equalise at 2-2. The way they played in patches will have given Arsenal fans an awful lot of encouragement that Unai Emery is, albeit in this brief period in charge of the club, starting to build something that that is showing progress from all the years of, I suppose, steady decline under Arsene Wenger.
Of course, it's a player that perhaps can't do what the manager wants him to do, and he's out today, albeit through illness, but Aaron Ramsey will come in, provide a bit more energy perhaps, and of course they've got Matteo Guendouzi, who seems like he's a real diamond in the rough that they found from the French second division, only £7 million in the summer, made more tackles and interceptions than any other Premier League player over the first two games of the season, only committed one foul, completed 88% of his passes, the type of player that you feel Arsenal have been missing in the centre of the midfield. And of course, as well as him, they've signed Lucas Torreira, who can do a similar job. They got him for big money from Fiorentina, so I think they do have the right players to start to transition under Unai Emery. And of course, they missed plenty of big chances at Stamford Bridge last week as well. Chances that the likes of Henrik Mkhitaryan and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang would usually put away. So certainly there are the green shoots of promise for Arsenal fans under Unai Emery.
Both teams without any points so far. Something has to change. And bear in mind, Tim, that we have got a West Ham fan sitting alongside us here at Barasti. A quick prediction from yourself?
Past Arsenal for this one. They've got a remarkable recent record in this London derby. Just one defeat in their last 22 matches against West Ham in all competitions. And their home form actually is fantastic. Only champion City had more points at home than Arsenal in the Premier League last season. So I'm going for a first Arsenal win for Unai Emery.
We're looking forward to hearing your commentary, kicking off at 6 p.m. local time here in the UAE, live on Dubai 103.8. Tim Long, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
He will be calling the shots for you on TalkSport from 6 o'clock this afternoon. He'll be alongside David Preece as well, former professional footballer who played in goal for the likes of Darlington, Aberdeen and the Danish club Silkeborg as well. Now turned to a well-known journalist and commentator. So make sure you tune in from 6 for that. And of course, from 8:30 this evening, stay tuned. You've got Wolves against Man City, which is on at the moment. Straight after Arsenal against West Ham, you'll have Liverpool against Brighton. We'll be back with more sport for you in just a few moments' time. You're listening to Dubai Eye 103.8. And we'll be back straight after these.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
Game is still on, for that matter, as well. Another 4 minutes or so. 5 minutes of extra time in the early kickoff, Wolves against Man City. And they can give us another 55 minutes if they want, because it's been very, very entertaining. End-to-end stuff. It's going to be interesting, Robbie, isn't it, to see how Wolves celebrate. If things stay as they are in the next 4 minutes, how they celebrate at the end of this game.
I think there will be a celebration, but I think there will also be a kind of acknowledgement that they're here to mix it with the big boys. And I think if they do celebrate wildly, that will be a telling kind of clue as to their ambitions this season. Because Wolves, make no mistake about it, are a team that came into this league with ambitions loftier than mere survival. They're not here just to cling on to safety and ensure that they play Premier League football next season. They're here to actually compete. And that's what they've done at the Molyneux today. It's 1-1 between Wolves and the champions that were so great at the early stages of last season that they were untouchable. This will give Liverpool a lot of cheer, as well as it has given Wolves and the other teams in the chasing pack behind Manchester City, the Chelseas, the Tottenhams, the Manchester Uniteds of this world, because Manchester City have not been at their searingly brilliant best this afternoon. They've been undone by a few slightly dodgy decisions that certainly VAR, and we've been used to seeing VAR implemented at the World Cup and certainly in the European leagues as well, there'll be a lot of calls to rush its installation after what we saw a little bit earlier on in the Premier League game this afternoon, Tom, because two decisions, in my opinion, a clear penalty not given and a handball which was clear in the goal that Wolves scored, both of which would have turned the tables and totally changed the face of this game.
That's what the game that is on at the moment. We're broadcasting live from Barasti. You can watch it down here. You can watch all of the Premier League action this evening and into this tonight down here live from Barasti. First up is Arsenal against West Ham. That's our feature game here on Dubai Eye as well. And two managers with a point to prove.
Certainly, yeah, of Unai Emery, a man who has come in, who has wanted to play a system. He has gone for that new modern style of playing out from the back. But in Peter Cech, he has an aged goalkeeper whose forte was never to play with the ball at his feet. Peter Cech is not an Edison. He is not a Manuel Neuer. He's very much a goalkeeper in the traditional mould. And there are a lot of those in the media who are questioning Unai Emery's decision to employ these tactics with the personnel that he's got at his disposal. And the fact that Arsenal have lost both those opening games have not done nothing to temper the dissenting voices around the Arsenal camp. But former Arsenal legend Ian Wright, a former striker for the Gunners, he believes that Unai Emery has shown the ability to make the decisions that his predecessor Arsene Wenger wasn't capable of making.
The fact is that I think that with him and Torreira, who's still to come in and really make a stance, and I think that it'd probably be them too, because I think that they will be the ones who are more confident about being able to get the ball in those areas and be confident enough to turn and try and play. Whereas you look at it at the moment, someone like Xhaka, it's frightening me at the moment if it goes to him, because his confidence seems shot. But what was good and encouraging is that he made those substitutions. Big substitutions for me. Xhaka probably would have stayed on under Wenger, so would Ozil. And what that said now in the dressing room is no one's going to be safe. If you don't do what we need you to do, you're coming off. And I was pleased to see that.
I think he's done that with Ramsey.
Yeah, yeah.
No Mesut Ozil this afternoon. Ramsey comes in as well, so big afternoon for Aaron Ramsey. Big afternoon for Manuel Pellegrini as well as a West Ham fan. And the only thing I'll say about this, because I'm not going to have a moan and a groan, it's only the third week of the season, I've got enough grey hair as it is. but is you know, when I look at Pellegrini, and there was a lot of anticipation of him coming in. There's a lot of optimism as well. The way they lined up for the first game against Liverpool, albeit against Liverpool as well, very attacking, etc. Next game, drops four players out of the starting 11, out of the entire matchday squad as well, and starts with a completely new formation. Then makes a couple of subs along the way as well. Formation changes again. Another four changes today with players dropping out of the matchday squad. What's the point of pre-season?
Yeah, you could say that he doesn't quite know his best 11, but I think there's going to have to be an acceptance, Tom, that he will not know his best 11 for at least the next couple of months as these new players bed in. West Ham have spent €100 million in the summer transfer market. Felipe Anderson is one of the most exciting signings they've made in their Premier League history. The winger from Lazio coming in. I don't think anyone really expected West Ham to show that level of ambition. Issa Diop from Toulouse, €25 million. He is yet to make an impact. In fact, he makes a first start at centre-back today. The fact that Jack Wilshere as well, on a free transfer from Arsenal, a player that is held in such high regard by so many, but has had so many problems with injuries and inconsistencies over the course of his career that many believe he never really achieved his potential for Arsenal, and whether West Ham were making a bit of a mistake in pinning their hopes on him to be the creative linchpin in the middle of the park. So, new manager, totally new personnel, and there's only so much you can learn in pre-season, I think, in these games that effectively don't really mean anything, these pre-season friendlies. We've seen a lot of chopping and changing. We can't doubt Manuel Pellegrini's pedigree as a manager, albeit with Manchester City, who had a much more settled side. He took over, of course, from Roberto Mancini, and he built on what he did. This is a totally new challenge. We're going to find out whether he's up to the task very quickly. But it's looking like another tough afternoon for your boys, West Ham.
Let's hear from Pellegrini now in the build-up to this game. Questions needing answers.
What I don't want is to have, as a team, as a manager, as a player, excuses because we have some problem with the color of the track or the different tracks. The problem that we have, we need to have the solution inside the pitch, not out of the pitch. So maybe that there are issues that if they are talking about that, maybe they can have a solution in the future. But I don't want to link both things.
A few years ago when Wilshere was developing at Arsenal and was playing for England, are you, having known the player as you do, are you surprised that they allowed him to leave this summer?
Well, I played here in England 3 years against Arsenal. Before that, with Villarreal twice in Champions League quarter-final and semi-final. Always, Jack was a very good player. But I don't know the reason why he finished his contract with Arsenal. I don't know the reason why Arsenal allowed him to to come here, so it's very difficult for me to give up. I prefer to play against the big team when you are in your best moment. You never know, each game is different, but they will be nervous, but maybe they will be also desperate to win the first game. So I cannot know the reaction of the players of Arsenal at this moment.
Interesting time for both Arsenal and West Ham fans. It's not often that you get a feature game here on Dubai Eye and in other broadcasters around the world that pits number 17 against number 19 in the Premier League, Ross Crist.
Yeah, well, one of those is always down at the bottom, but certainly Arsenal, they've had a tough go at it at the beginning of the season, starting with City and Chelsea, so they should pick up the 3 points here today unless... Well, Tom, unless your Hammers can pull something out of the bag, but I just don't see it. One man that is on the Arsenal squad, midfielder Henrik Mkhitaryan, took a lot of criticism last season at Old Trafford. Jose Mourinho shipped him down to the Emirates, and now he's getting a lot of criticism down at the Emirates from ex-players, and Mkhitaryan doesn't like when former footballers critique his game.
Well, I don't know why people are criticizing so much the players, because most of them, they've been players as well. They had bad games, they had the good games, and I don't know if they've been criticized and now they are trying to criticize us. I know myself if I've played well or bad, so I'm the first critic in my football game, and I don't need extra criticism to feel if I've played good or I've played bad. So I know very well what I'm giving to the team and what the team gives me to me, but I don't pay too much attention on it.
Bournemouth take on Everton, Huddersfield against Cardiff, Southampton against Leicester. We'll have more team news with Robbie Greenfield on those, and we're hearing from their managers before the end of the show. Just want to wrap up on some of the other big games over in Europe as well for you today. Spanish Liga back in action. Alaves taking on Real Betis. That one's off at 8:15. Atletico Madrid, they take on Rayo Vallecano at 10:15 this evening. And then at 12:15, Real Valladolid taking on Barcelona. German Bundesliga gets underway in 3 minutes' time. Full range of games to look forward to there. We mentioned the French Ligue 1 a little earlier on. That gets underway at 7 o'clock tonight. And, of course, Italian Serie A, where Napoli take on AC Milan at 10:30 this evening. And at 8 o'clock this evening, all eyes on Juventus. Why? Because a certain man makes his home debut for Juve.
I think, well, right now I'm standing in the middle of a piazza where there is a huge advertisement, you know, dedicated to the beauty that is Ronaldo and how brilliant he is as a footballer, listing all his achievements. And it's by Nike and it's in the middle of the piazza. Everyone's coming here to take pictures of it. Everyone's walking around with a Cristiano Ronaldo t-shirt. But what really struck me are the number of tourists that have come and traveled long distances to see him play. There are so many Americans here that we've spoken to, and the restaurant was full of them, all excited, all ready with all their technical gear and all their cameras. There's people have come in from Spain, from Madrid, to watch the greatest player, as they like to dub him. So it's very exciting to see him finally grace Turin and finally make his home debut.
Well, we know that Massimiliano Allegri also had a presser today. What were some of the biggest takeaways that you got from that presser? What did he have to say that was of note?
Well, it's interesting because you said this is not going to be an easy match, and you brought it up. This isn't Chievo Verona. And Allegri was really keen to point out that this is going to be a tough match because we know Simone Inzaghi knows how to play against Juventus. We saw them beat Juve in their stadium last year. Obviously, at the time, it was 2-1. Ciro Immobile doing some spectacular stuff. They also lifted the Supercoppa and defeated Juventus then. So what Allegri is so keen to point out is that this isn't going to be an easy match. No one's going to hand us anything just because we have the best player and a really good squad. More importantly, he was asked over and over again, how do we get the best out of Ronaldo? And really, what's the formation that you're going to play? Because as we saw against Verona, maybe he was a little bit better when he was wide left. And he said, it really doesn't matter what I decide to do, whether it's two midfielders or three, whether I go with a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3. What matters is the fluidity and the chemistry. And the more that Ronaldo plays with his teammates, the more that we'll see the best of him, the very best of him, and see him score goals. But all I care about right now is just getting through this first hurdle. And then when we start playing a game every 3 days, then hopefully we'll gel together and you'll see the best version of us. So that's one thing. More importantly, he also discussed Bonucci and what he thinks there's going to be, because that's another home debut as well for the prodigal son who's going to come back, and whether or not there's going to be booze there.
All right, I mean, with that said, also, how do you expect them to line up then for that game against Lazio?
Well, this is what's really interesting. I think that based on what happened against Chievo Verona, they should probably go for a 4-3-3 to add more balance. But I think that for the moment that Allegri will start with a 4-2-3-1, starting with Dybala just behind Ronaldo and Douglas Costa and Juan Cuadrado out wide. I would say that it would be probably Pjanic and Khedira in the middle of the park and Bonucci, Chiellini in the middle as well, with Sandro and Cancelo as the fullbacks. But honestly, there is a chance where Blaise Matuidi will come in and sort of just to shore up that midfield, offer a little bit of energy, and then perhaps that will mean the change in formation with Mandzukic always coming in to make it a 4-3-3.
Juve against Lazio, 8 o'clock this evening, local time here in the UAE. It's live down here at Barasti. A little later than that, 8:30, live here on Dubai Eye. Also live on Barasti is our late game as Liverpool against Brighton.
Certainly is, and Jurgen Klopp has been speaking. He'll have been buoyed by the result earlier at Molineux, the 1-1 draw between Wolves and Manchester City. He's been speaking, though, of the need to continue to improve. Liverpool have made some big signings. They've signalled their intent to challenge for the Premier League title this season, and they've opened up with two very, very impressive wins at home to West Ham, away to Crystal Palace, in the manner of a team that looks like it could be title contenders. Klopp says that there's still plenty of work to be done.
I really think that we have to expect things like that from us. I know people expect that on the one hand side, but on the other side, we have to expect it. So anything can happen. So in a football game, but we need to expect from ourselves that we really perform on at least the level we showed so far. And I said it a long time ago and a few times already, if that would be the best football we can play, that would be really poor, because then you start brilliant and we have to develop, we have to improve. And I'm pretty sure we can, but there are a lot of games to play and in different competitions, and we need to be ready for each single of that. And that's actually what's very important in the moment. Thank God I only have to think about Brighton and no other game, and that's difficult enough. So let's go for that.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
So Man City dropping points, is that fair? They did secure 1 point. They finished 1-1 against Wolves in the early kickoff in the Premier League. More football for you as we build up to Arsenal against West Ham from 6 o'clock this evening. It's live here on Dubai Eye 103.8. It's live down here at Barasti. You can watch all your sport down here at Barasti, including your baseball, if you get up early enough or go to bed late enough. Let's get all the latest from Ross Christ.
Yeah, it's the race for the playoffs. The final wild cards in Major League Baseball. The Chicago Cubs defeated the Cincinnati Reds 3-2. Chavez picks up the win here. He goes to 1-1 on the season with a 1.40 ERA. The New York Yankees beat the Orioles in Baltimore 7-5. Volt powers the Yankees for the win. He hit two home runs in this one. This one took 10 innings of play. Elsewhere, north of the border, the Philadelphia Phillies traveled up to Toronto, and they fell to the Toronto Blue Jays, who improved to 59-69 on the season. They won 4-2 in that game. The Chicago White Sox picked up a rare win on the season, going to 49-79, defeating the Detroit Tigers 6-3 in Detroit. The New York Mets defeat the Washington Nationals in the Big Apple 3-0. Vargas picks up the win. He goes to 4-8 on the season. Derek Jeter's Miami Marlins. Boy, that doesn't even sound right. But Derek Jeter's Miami Marlins won in South Beach, going against the Atlanta Braves 1-0. Straley picks up the win on the season. He goes in 5-6 with the 4.35 ERA. Conley picks up the save, and he picks up his second save of the day. The Rays beat the Boston Red Sox 10-3. This was played down in Tampa at Tropicana Field. Beeks picks up the win. He goes to 3-1 on the season. My Pittsburgh Pirates took on the Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee. This one took 15 innings of play, and here's how it ended.
Tying run at second. Kratz on the ground. Flew for a base hit. Aguilar scores. Perez coming home. We're tied. And Eric Kratz ties it up with a single.
Yeah, how about that?
RCA in the right field, base hit. Polanco drops it. Here comes Lyles. Throw to the plate, and the Brewers win! Are you kidding?
Nice!
Woo! A three-run 15th inning! Orlando RCA! A walk-off single! 7-6 Milwaukee!
My oh my, this is some crazy things this year. We've seen some crazy things in this homestand, but none more crazy than tonight. What a win. Snatching victory from the jaws of defeat.
Snatching victory from the jaws of defeat against my Pittsburgh Pirates. Sad day if you're a Pirates fan. They went out all in at the trade deadline, and they're going to be all out when it comes to playoff baseball. Oakland Athletics won 7-1 against the Minnesota Twins. They go to 77-52 on the season. Billy Beans put together a heck of a squad there out in California. The Kansas City Royals defeated the Cleveland Indians 5-4. Peretta picks up the win on the season. He goes to 1-0 on the season. The Cardinals beat the Colorado Rockies a mile high above sea level in Colorado, 7-5. Martinez picks up the win. He goes to 7-6 on the season. The Mariners defeated the Arizona Diamondbacks 6-3. The Diamondbacks are 71-57, sitting in first place despite the loss. The Houston Astros are looking to repeat. They're 78-50, and they won 9-3 against the Angels in this game. Mike Trout's first game back since the loss of his brother-in-law. He had two singles in this game. He wore his brother-in-law's name on the back of his jersey for this one. Los Angeles Dodgers vying for the last NL wildcard spot, won against the San Diego Padres 11-1. And the late game was the Texas Rangers defeating the San Francisco Giants 7-6. Guerin picks up the win on the season, going to 1-0.
That's your baseball wrap for this afternoon. Plenty more to look forward to. And, of course, Ross keeping you updated on his social media channels throughout the entire week on all things baseball, all things US sport, and all things boxing. And I did want to pick your brain, if I could, after last week's, I was going to say fight, but it was more the sort of drama that unveiled in and around the flight. One of your countrymen making his way over to Northern Ireland to meet the Gypsy King himself, Fury against Wilder. Is it happening?
Well, if you ask both these men, it seems that it's happening. Wilder made his way to Windsor Park in Belfast, Northern Ireland, after Tyson Fury dismantled in 10 rounds Francisco Pineta. But in all honesty, guys, he won every single round against a guy that wasn't boxing. It was just a guy that had boxing gloves.
They were patting each other.
It was pathetic. And you can say this since Fury's come back to boxing since his last real fight against Klitschko, against Serafini. What was that? The guy just wouldn't get off the stool after four rounds. Then this Italian guy, Francisco Pianetta, they weren't really even hitting one another. So now he's jumping up to the big leagues. He's taking on Dante Wilder, who comes in undefeated. Dante Wilder sat ringside for this one, and they met right after the victory.
Deontay, face to face with a man you came face to face with after your successful title defense against Arthur Speaker in January 2016 in Brooklyn. How far are negotiations between yourself and Tyson Fury for a showdown between the reigning WBC champ and the lineal heavyweight champ? Where are we in terms of those negotiations?
Are we ready now? This fight we are having is on. This is on. This fight is official. It's on, baby. Y'all can get ready. This is what we've been waiting for right here. The best fighting the best.
So you've said that the fight is on. When and where will the fight take place?
It will be revealed next week. Wait till next week. But the fight is on. It's on.
Well, Tyson Fury, listen to the ovation that this news has received. A fight between yourself, the lineal heavyweight champion, a man who's never lost his titles in the ring, against the reigning WBC champion, 40 wins out of 40, 39 inside the distance, a 98% knockout ratio. How much does that whet the appetite to face off against the undisputed WBC champ?
You know, we are two men who will fight anybody. This man has been trying to make a big fight with the other chump. I think we all know who we're talking about. Listen, they called. I answered. I said, send me the contract. They sent the contract. I said yes.
So those are the two fighters going head to head. We will wait with interest to see whether that fight comes to fruition. A lot of talk about it at the moment, that's for sure. And it would add a little bit of drama. I suppose the big call is going to be where they're going to fight.
Well, supposedly at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. No date as yet, and it was promised to come this week and hasn't actually arrived. So
Tyson Fury let it slip there. If you actually listen to it, he says, we'll be meeting in Vegas right after his manager said, please, we'll tell you next week. So it is going to be in Las Vegas.
And it represents...
I suppose Fury would take that, wouldn't he? Because he's looking for a payday.
Yeah, you look at Dante Wilder right now, maybe going out to Vegas, but this is a guy that's actually fought most of his fights in Alabama, so this is kind of new territory for him as well. So, I mean, Fury's a guy that can handle the big stage.
And the weird thing about Deontay Wilder is that despite the fact he's a very dramatic fighter, no one would call him a technically great fighter, because there's a lot about what he does that I think is more representative of brawling than it is of boxing. But in terms of his punching power, it's up there, isn't it, Ross? And I think this is intriguing, because Tyson Fury has obviously decided to make a gamble here, to risk fast-tracking, to try and upstage Anthony Joshua, because we know that Deontay Wilder and Joshua were in talks, those two camps, for a long time about a unification fight, which didn't happen this time around. Joshua fighting the mandatory challenger Povetkin, and seemingly that fight maybe might happen next year. But Fury's trying to get back in amongst it and back at the top table in the fastest possible time. And is he ready to fight a boxer of the caliber and a man that packs the kind of power that Deontay Wilder has? And I think that despite the fact that Fury is a master craftsman at his best, no one would ever call him a big puncher, but he's a very, very technically gifted boxer. It's an interesting matchup, this. I'd expect Wilder to win by knockout.
Awkward versus awkward. They're both awkward fighters.
Hashtag awkward.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Tom Urquhart. You just made $1 million. I'll tell the promoters to call you. But seriously, these guys...
Of all the fight names that have been put, undisputed...
Awkward versus awkward.
Yeah, just awkward.
There we go. But honestly, these guys are coming in, and neither of them fight the traditional way, and they both are kind of brawlers. Fury stands so weird. I can't wait for this fight. I really can't wait. This is one that I think a lot of people will tune in for.
Fast running out of time, so just enough time to bring you up to date with what's going on in the wider world of sport. The longer we go in the day, the more news is coming through. Belgian Grand Prix part two of the qualifying, pole qualifying, is about to come to a conclusion. We should have a result for you on that one in just a few, before we go off air. And just to let you know as well, for rugby league fans, in fact, just for rugby fans, for sports fans, if you get an opportunity, if you are anywhere near a screen at 6 o'clock this evening local time, do take a moment to give the Challenge Cup final a go. It invariably throws up one of the best games of rugby league that you will see all year round, and it's got two great teams who've made it through to the spectacle this year. It's France against England. It is the Catalans Dragons taking on the Warrington Wolves. So not two of the teams that are best and most notably famed the world over, but Catalans looking for first major piece of silverware in their history. Warrington in their fifth final in 10 years, having won three of Challenge Cups to date. Let's go to the world of golf now. Robbie Greenfield's alongside us as well. Obviously, the Ryder Cup looms heavy at the moment. A lot of players looking to book their places, their automatic places into that Ryder Cup team at the moment, get enough points as well. And so you've got tournaments going on over in Europe and over stateside as well. What's the big one stateside at the moment?
The big one stateside, Tom, is the Northern Trust Open. This is the first tournament in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Of course, the season finale for the PGA Tour. The winner will take home that $10 million. Trifling, really, when you consider that Woods and Mickelson are playing each other for $9 million and they don't even have to beat an entire field. But that's the bank, that's the purse available for the winner of the FedEx Cup. Dustin Johnson went into this one in pole position, having done the best over the course of the regular season. Hot on his heels was the world number two, Brooks Koepka, who is currently tied for the lead with Jamie Lovemark over in the US at the Northern Trust Open. 10 under par, the pair. They're one shot clear of Adam Scott, who played so well at the recent PGA Championship, and that man, Dustin Johnson, the current world number one, is at 8 under par. Johnson could lose that status and that title, though, to Brooks Koepka. If Koepka can win at the Northern Trust Open, he would therefore take world number one. He would take pole position in the FedEx Cup playoffs, and he would continue to underline the fact that many people believe that he is the best golfer on the planet. But that being said, the placid, very laconic American is taking it all in his stride. Take a listen.
I feel like anytime you can win two times in a year, you're going to have a lot of confidence. And then to do it in two majors, in three, my last six, there's a lot of confidence there. And it's nice. There's a lot in the line this week. You know, world number one, FedEx Cup, and to win a golf tournament. And that's what I'm trying to do.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
So we've got Arsenal against West Ham for you in just a few moments' time. Stay tuned, because straight after that, you've got your late game here on Dubai Eye 103.8 at Liverpool against Brighton. More action for you tomorrow and, of course, on Monday evening. In fact, I think the biggest game of the weekend, certainly one of the most anticipated, will be on Monday evening. Tottenham being in fine form. They've laid down their credentials in the early part of this season. Manchester United with big question marks, especially after that defeat last weekend. That has prompted all sorts of questions to a certain Jose Mourinho, who turned up early to his press conference, didn't last that long in the press conference. There are rumours doing the rounds. One, about a rift between him and Woodward. Anything in it?
Undoubtedly. There's no smoke without fire, Tom, and there's no doubt that all is not well at Manchester United at the moment. Jose Mourinho was a sullen figure last season. He is even more negative, if that were possible, this season. His theatrics, his behaviour, particularly with the media, leaves a lot to be desired. He's drawn a lot of criticism for his general demeanour, for his negative and sullen moods that he seems to be in almost on a week-to-week basis. And as you say, he turned up 30 minutes, obviously deliberately early, to his press conference in order to catch most of the journalists off guard. A lot of them didn't make the allotted time because he was over and done in 259 seconds. Let's listen to a short clip from his press conference and you'll be able to ascertain exactly what kind of mood Mr. Mourinho is in.
Yeah, but don't ask me because I don't read. I don't know 10% of what is written. I don't know 10% of what is coming on the TV screens. So I'm not the right guy to answer to it.
You always spoke with great respect about Ed Woodward, the executive vice chair. I imagine the relationship with him is fine.
Of course.
No problem at all.
No.
Jose, when Paul Pogba comes out and says the attitude wasn't right after a game like Brighton, how does that make you feel as a manager? You've got this brilliant player that can be exceptional one week and the next week so inconsistent.
Paul has to answer by his words. If you want any explanation about Paul's words, you must get him and ask him.
Those are the thoughts of Jose Mourinho. He faces up against Pochettino on Monday evening, as it is Man United against Tottenham Hotspur. And it's that sort of game, isn't it? Monday night football, 8 o'clock. It's the sort of game you can expect Mourinho to confound its critics, come out and bang a few past some of the title contenders.
Well, exactly. And that's the lot of Tottenham, certainly from last season. They were very good. They were good enough to finish top four, but ultimately they were not good enough in the biggest games. And Manchester United had the edge over them in the two times that they met last season. You suspect that at Old Trafford, Manchester United will turn up for this one. They were poor away to Brighton. They managed to beat Leicester 2-1 in their opening game through a pretty good performance from Paul Pogba. But it's just a case of the fact that there is something fundamentally at odds and wrong with the club at the moment. And we've seen this so many times before. Jose Mourinho is at war with everyone. He's at war with the board of directors, who he feels didn't grant him the money to make the signings that he thought were necessary to challenge Manchester City this season. Perhaps the board of directors didn't have faith in Jose Mourinho to spend the money well enough, given that the likes of Eric Bailly has looked inconsistent. Paul Pogba, so brilliant for France. Quite simply, Jose Mourinho has not figured out how to get the best out of him. We spoke on Monday Night Football about the fact that if Paul Pogba were playing at Manchester City under Pep Guardiola, if he were playing at Barcelona, the club rumoured to be interested in signing him, he would be a different player, because Jose Mourinho is so fundamentally defensive in his mindset now that Paul Pogba is at his best when he's given the shackles are off and he's able to go forward and play his own game without the constraints of having to worry about the defensive work that a lot of the players around him should be doing. And that's the issue. It's set up for a very intriguing game. Tottenham have got 6 points after their first two matches. Manchester United, one win and one loss thus far. And there's no doubt if Tottenham can go to Old Trafford and win, the pressure will be amped up on Mourinho and Manchester United, Tom.
A couple of things to wrap up on. Before all that's on Monday nights live here on Dubai Eye. Before that, we've got live for you this evening and tomorrow. Before we move on to Newcastle-Chelsea, just one. I thought this was the best moment of the the manager's press conferences this year, this season thus far. Watford take on Crystal Palace tomorrow. Obviously, Roy Hodgson in charge at Crystal Palace. He's got an issue, not with his striker, Wilfred Zaha, who is on everyone's buy books at the moment, but with his club mascot.
If you're asking me whether Harry the Hornet, who I presume is the mascot, should dive in that way, I think it's disgraceful. You know, because that's not what football matches are about. You know, and certainly if it's provoking the crowd into looking for something which isn't there, it should be stopped. Wilf Zaha does not dive for penalties. He gets knocked over sometimes. Sometimes he gets knocked over or unbalanced without it necessarily being a foul or a penalty, because he runs at such speed and he's got such agility with the ball. But he certainly doesn't dive. But of course, unfortunately, if teams try to take every advantage they can, you've mentioned the mascot, I would be very disappointed if a Crystal Palace mascot was doing something like that to provoke the crowd against an opponent. And if I found out about it, I'd stop it.
First world problems down there, as I'm sure they will have at Chelsea. Well, they have had a huge issue at Chelsea, but apparently the new manager sorted it out.
I think that for nutrition, we have a very important doctor, and I think that he's better than me for this decision, I think.
One more, Jimmy.
For me, it's very important. I am very, I like very much when the team is able to work very well during the training. When the team is trying to improve, when the team is able to work on mistakes, they are professional. So out of the pitch, I think they are able to eat in the right way, to rest in the right way. I don't want to impose anything.
The source of the problem of nutrition at Chelsea was the fact that the previous management banned tomato ketchup. However, Sarri has sorted that one out. It's back on the menu.
Brought it back in, along with brown sauce.
And they're going to be fine. They'll be fine from now on.
Amazing.
Listen, fellas, we're going to go over to Arsenal against West Ham. They're in the tunnel over there. We'll also have the latest from the Belgian Grand Prix for you as well, with qualifying just about to come to a conclusion. Stay tuned. You've got Arsenal against West Ham, followed by the Liverpool game straight after that. Thanks very much indeed to all of you for your contributions. As always, we're here every Saturday between 3 and 6. Ross, Chris, appreciate your time this weekend. What are you doing for the rest of the weekend, sports-wise?
Rest of the weekend, I'll be catching up on some of the baseball, and I'll be catching up some of the NFL preseason, and giving a big shout out to everyone in education. Welcome back to work this week from here, from us at the Dubai Eye Sports Team. Have a good academic year.
Thanks very much indeed to Robbie Greenfield as well. He's here. It's raining over in Spa. That's causing a few problems. Still around about 10 minutes left on qualifying over there. Robbie, loads of sport to look forward to.
Yeah, lots of sport, lots of football over the course. Don't miss that big match Monday night, directly after Monday Night Football as well, Tom. 11 p.m. local time, Manchester United Tottenham, one of the games of the season in these early stages. We're looking forward to bringing you full commentary of that one on Dubai 103.8.
That's it from Robbie, Ross and myself, live down here at Barasti. Thanks so much indeed to X. Thanks so much indeed to Benj, to Viva Las Vegas back in the studio, to all the team that have been on board over the last couple of hours. As I said, back next week between 3 and 6. Do stay tuned, though, because we're live down to the Emirates next for Arsenal against West Ham. Enjoy.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.